Good afternoon. Welcome to the May 20th, 2011 edition of CNI Conversations. I'm Cliff Lynch, the director of CNI, and I want to start this off with a quick apology. It's been a while since we've gotten one of these conversations out for various reasons, and we'll try not to be so slow again. I have just a few things that I want to talk about today, and I think the place I want to start is with this wonderful announcement from Yale University that came out a couple of weeks ago. Some of you may have seen this in the press, but I think it's really worth noting and spending a couple of minutes on. Basically, Yale has now said that it will offer open access to images of all of its cultural collections. This means material that's held in its libraries, its archives, and its very excellent museums. And they already have a very substantial number of high-quality images available. This is a great thing to really make these out of copyright images of works that they hold generally available for scholars, students, and indeed just interested citizens worldwide to be able to use. Obviously, they can only do this with works that are in the public domain, paintings, for example, that are in the public domain, and not with everything in their collection, but even so, it is a very, very wide-ranging treasure trove of cultural material. This seems to me to be exactly the kind of thing that we want to striving for in our universities with their stewardship of cultural heritage materials and their dedication to the dissemination of knowledge. And I think it's just wonderful to see Yale take a leadership position in this, joining the similar announcement that we saw from Cornell University in 2009. I really hope that this is the beginning of a broad trend, and I hope that we'll see many other such announcements from our universities and from our museums and archives in the coming years. But I think that this is just a wonderful policy step, and one that deserves wide recognition, and also that I hope many other institutions will take as a point of departure for a conversation about their own policies. So my kudos to Yale, and I hope that we'll have more of these kinds of announcements to talk about in the future. I have just a couple of other things that I want to comment on. I spent Wednesday of this week at a meeting of ORCID, O-R-C-I-D, which is a relatively new, it's been going for, I would say, close to a year now, initiative to develop an open researcher ID. That can be used to disambiguate authorship and therefore improve bibliometrics, and also used to link a whole variety of authorial activities in an unambiguous way. Intellectually, it builds out of a number of efforts. One that Thomson Reuters had underway to, among other things, really improve the quality of the citation indexing in Web of Science and its related products by allowing authors to establish unique IDs and then claim them. And indeed, it also links back to a discussion that CNI initiated about 4 years ago now to look at some of these questions about identifying authors in a digital environment. The thing that's really striking to me is how many different pieces potentially come together here, including not just the attribution of authorship through essentially using these as an authority control device for the published literature, but also connecting them into the library mechanisms of authority control, connecting them into the new emergent local authority control that's developing around institutional repositories, hooking them up potentially to university-based identity management databases, to editorial processing and management systems for journals, and indeed even to use them to identify contributions to collective discussions, for example. I have to say I was very impressed by the amount of progress that ORCID was making, and also by the way it's really moved away from its beginnings, which were very, very, I would say, publisher-dominated, to something that is much more of a broad collaboration between publishers of both primary and bibliographic databases, librarians, and also researchers themselves. I think this is developing into a significant initiative with some real momentum behind it. They're aiming, based on what I heard at this meeting, to have a system operational around spring of 2012. And I think this is something that bears some careful watching and careful evaluation for potential involvement. I'd recommend, if you're not familiar with it, that you might want to visit their website and look at some of their materials. We did have a session on this at the spring CNI meeting that Mackenzie Smith led in San Diego, and we'll continue to be tracking this in future CNI meetings as well, of course. Speaking of the spring CNI meeting in San Diego, I just want to mention two things there. One, the videos are starting to go online. We've got, I believe, both plenaries and a session that I did up currently, and should have a couple more up in the next week or so. And most of the presentation materials as well have now been collected from the presenters and put online. The second thing I want to mention, and I want to mention it because it didn't really get that much coverage leading up to the meeting, but I managed to catch most of the talk and found it extremely interesting, was a presentation that Elsevier did at the spring CNI meeting, where they described work that they were doing on what I can really best characterize as something similar to the App Store that Apple offers for its iPhone and iPad environments. They have defined a series of interfaces to the data that they federate, both their own and others, through services like Scopus and Science Direct, and they are now encouraging the development of applications by both librarians and researchers that can make use of these interfaces. I have to say that when I saw this, the first thing that I thought about was various kinds of enhanced search capabilities that integrated external resources with these data resources that they held, and also the possibility of making data mining services available through such interfaces. This has not had all that much coverage, as I say. I really learned about it because I was able to stop in and catch most of the session at CNI, but I think this is a development that others who might have missed it will find quite interesting. I'll mention two other meetings that have taken place over the past month or so. One is the symposium on data reuse in the networked environment that was put on by the National Research Council's Board on Research Data and Information. I did put out a pointer to this conference on CNI Announce, but it was really quite an interesting and broad look across 2 days, March 10th and 11th, at data reuse in areas as diverse as astronomy, geoinformatics, genomics, and really an effort to try and pin down some of the benefits and some of the barriers to this kind of data reuse. I found it to be a very helpful session, and I think some of the resources available there may be of great interest to people listening to this. The other meeting I want to note is the second meeting of the Sage Bioinformatics Commons out in San Francisco last month. These folks are really interested in setting up frameworks under which biomedical information can be shared, and they're looking to find ways to open up information that comes from the pharmaceutical and biotech industries, that comes from clinical trials, that comes from academic research. They are very, very clever about thinking in terms of data that may not have proprietary value, but that is well structured and potentially can be reused in creative ways. One of the things, for example, that they're looking at is whether you can get data out of the control arms, not the experimental arms, but the control arms of clinical trials, and then use that for subsequent data mining, especially if you've got genotype information as well as clinical information associated with those records. Obviously, there are all kinds of complex questions about confidentiality, informed consent, and this sort of thing, and they are starting to think about the conversations there. I also want to just specifically call attention to a really wonderful talk that I heard there by a professor named Aled Edwards. First name is A-L-E-D. which combined some literature analysis with some data analysis in a way that was really quite novel. He was building on a paper that he published with some colleagues titled Too Many Roads Not Taken from the 10 February 2011 issue of Nature on data, that special issue on data reuse. And I know they took video of his talk. I don't know whether it's yet available at the Sage Bioinformatics Commons site, but I strongly recommend the talk. One of the things that he does is he makes the argument that as we work through things like sequencing the genome and then understanding proteins and receptors and things like that, and basically get sort of enumerations of all of the genes or all of the receptors or all of the proteins of a certain class, we can combine that with literature analysis to see where the gaps in our knowledge are. And he's got some very fascinating studies of how poorly we're doing in many cases in investigating new members of these classes that have come out through this kind of sequencing and analytical approach to molecular biology. It's a fascinating kind of an insight, and one that he then follows up with a discussion of some of the barriers, both in terms of research culture and in terms of tool and methods development. So I definitely recommend that as a extremely interesting talk and a very insightful perspective that perhaps could be applied to other areas of science to give us insights in our into our research patterns and research investments. I'll close by just reminding folks that there's going to be a workshop on the research data life cycle in Princeton in July, and currently applications to participate in that are being accepted. You can find the information on that by looking at the CNI Announce archive, or there should be a link on the CNI main page that takes you out to that. Those are the main things that I wanted to talk about today. Let me just close by encouraging you, if there are topics that you'd like to hear about on these CNI conversations, to drop a line. We're always open to suggestions. And otherwise, we hope to be back with you within the next couple of weeks with another installment of these. Thanks again for listening.